start. Lord, be with us as we consider your word and speak to the heart of each of us, that those who know you and have acknowledged you as Lord and Deliverer would be brought closer to you this evening, and that those who have never tasted of forgiveness of sin and eternal life would find their way to you and to the kingdom of God. We just ask you would reveal yourself, Lord, in a special way to meet the needs of every person here. In Yeshua's name, amen. I want to talk to you tonight on the event that changed Judaism. You say one event? Yes, a major event. It happened in the year 70 AD, or as Jewish people count it, 70 CE. The Roman army, led by their general Titus, marched into Jerusalem and destroyed the whole city, laid waste the second temple, which was considered one of the most beautiful buildings in King Herod's whole kingdom, and they killed at least 1 million Jews. The major thing that this did, the major change that this made, was that it put an end to sacrifice in Israel. This terrible move was precipitated by what was called the Great Jewish Revolt of 66 to 70, followed some 60 years later by what was called the Bar Kokhba Revolt. Bar Kokhba rose up as if he were a deliverer, a Messiah, and Rabbi Akiva declared him the Messiah. It was one of the great false Messiah moves in Israel's history. Israel's history has a long list of false messiahs that were acknowledged. The Great Revolt was started by a Jewish group called the Zealots, in Hebrew, Kanaim. They were an anti-Roman group, and they considered that nothing was more important than removing the Roman power over Israel, both politically and spiritually. Many Jewish leaders considered the aforementioned revolts the greatest calamities in Jewish history prior to the Holocaust. Jewish political authority in Israel was not restored until the year 1948. That's a long time, isn't it? Yom Kippur, according to Torah, what is it? And what is Yom Kippur today? The main chapter describing Yom Kippur in the Torah is Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 16. Vayikra is an emphasis on the korban, the sacrifice. Without the sacrifice, it does not fulfill the original description of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. In Vayikra 17, verse 11, it tells us what the whole of sacrifice and forgiveness is based upon. And without this, There is no real forgiveness in terms of God's definition of this whole holy day. Leviticus 17, 1 and 2 has Adonai, the Lord, instructing Moses to speak to Aaron and his sons, the Kohanim, the priests, and to all the children of Israel in the words of Vayikra, Leviticus 17, 11. Ki nefesh habasar badam. Ki nefesh habasar badam. For the life of the flesh is in Hadam, the blood. And I have given it to you, God is saying this, Al HaMizbeach, upon the altar, to make an atonement for your souls. Ki Hadam, hu banefesh, yechaper. For it is Hadam, the blood. It is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Jerusalem Bible, Koren Publishers, Jerusalem, Israel, Leviticus 17, 11. So Yom Kippur today has the word, the Day of Atonement, without the sacrifice. So how should we respond to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in that year when all of this happened, 70 AD, following the destruction of Jerusalem and the Second Temple and the cessation of sacrifices? Here was the statement that changed everything. Quote, acts of loving kindness have replaced sacrifices. Because Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, never substantiates such a bold declaration as that of Rabbi ben Zakkai, I believe we should consider a more logical explanation concerning God's allowing the cessation of sacrifices in Jewish life for almost 2,000 years. Almost 2,000 years. That's a long time, isn't it? We have Passover, and we have the shank bone of an animal in place of a sacrifice. And here we have Yom Kippur with no sacrifice. Now, the Jewish oral law, the Babylonian Talmud, which is considered the most accepted of the Jewish oral laws, there's the Babylonian Talmud and the Palestinian Talmud, but the Babylonian Talmud is the most accepted version of the oral law. They call it Torah Sheba'al Peh. In Tractate Sanhedrin of the Talmud, 98b, it quotes Rabbi Johanan saying, the world was created for the sake of the Messiah. I'm saying since Yeshua came, there is a much less exalted concept of Messiah than there was before Yeshua came. The world was created for the sake of the Messiah. The text then tries to further identify Messiah by quoting Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, and applying it to the Messiah. Although the noted exegete Rashi tried centuries later to interpret the suffering servant of Adonai, Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12, as a nation of Israel, let us read this portion of Scripture, and I will discuss why I think it is not Israel, and why it is the Messiah, and who answers this description. I think we should all listen carefully to this, because I think it's part of our witness to who the Messiah is and how Tanakh itself qualifies who Messiah will be. Now, let me just say this in all fairness. The reason Rashi reinterpreted this section as being Israel is that the Crusades were going on during this time. And the Pope had called Catholics to go to Jerusalem and free Jerusalem from the infidels, who were the Muslims. These crusaders were hardly a picture of Yeshua's love. They went from city to city, going to Jerusalem, and offered the Jews in that city that they could either submit to baptism, which was forced baptism, or they would lose their lives. Once they got into Jerusalem, they pushed the Jews into a synagogue, locked the doors, and burnt them alive. You can see why a lot of Jewish people have a problem when we say we're bringing you the good news. I can tell you the only thing that will overcome this is an act of God and true Yeshua love from believers. But I think we should know that a lot has been done in the name of Yeshua that's not Yeshua. Yeshua's message was inundated with God's love. And he said this about believers, how we would know true believers. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have this Yeshua love for one another. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? By laying down his life. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by Yeshua love for one another. We love our brothers and sisters, and we love those around us, both those who are in the body of Yeshua and those who aren't. We love them because Yeshua put his Ruach in our hearts, and that's God's love. And these people will be drawn to the Lord and to his salvation through that kind of love. Who is he? How is he described? See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, not just the Jewish people, many goyim. He will be the savior of Jew and Gentile alike. And kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Here's this Messiah. He grew up before him like a tender shoot before God, and like a root out of a dry ground. Spiritual lethargy, dryness. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. Who was more despised than Yeshua? A man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. How would you know Yeshua, Messiah? Is he really the Messiah? He would be held in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And here's something beautiful. The punishment that brought us shalom, peace, was upon him. By accepting this sacrifice of God, this punishment to the Messiah, we receive God's peace. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Isaiah is the prophet of God, and he includes himself. Each of us has turned to our own way, and Adonai, the Lord, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What people don't want to realize is what David said in Psalm 51 when he's repenting, "In sin did my mother conceive me." He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. You know, when God says, "I'm me," about whom he was speaking, I ask a rabbi that. And the rabbi said that this is describing Israel, but I said, how could it be? He was stricken for the transgression of Ami, God said, my people. Israel couldn't be stricken for Israel. This is the Messiah stricken for Israel and the world, the nations, the Goyim. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of Adonai to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though Adonai makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. How's that? He'll be resurrected. And the will of Adonai will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By the knowledge of him, my righteous servant will justify many. He will declare many righteous. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He made intercession for me. And I will say that I stand here today alive because Yeshua delivered me. The doctors told my wife there was no hope for me. I was in really bad shape. And I was that way 7 years. And in a moment of time, Yeshua, I called on Yeshua and he healed me. I want to read this portion in Romans 3, 21 through 31, and I'll end with this. This is how Paul describes this whole work of God. But now, apart from Torah, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which Torah and the Nevi'im, the law and the prophets, testify. The righteousness is given through faith in Yeshua the Messiah to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You say, so how do we compare? To whom do we compare to see whether it's righteous or unrighteous? The scripture is comparing it to the glory of God. There's none so perfect as he. All we like sheep have gone astray. We are born in sin. That's what the scripture declares. And God in mercy sent his Messiah to deliver us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Yeshua the Messiah. God presented Messiah, that is Yeshua, as a sacrifice of atonement. There's the fulfillment. There's the fulfillment of Yom Kippur. The Lord presented Yeshua as a sacrifice of atonement. And Yohanan pointed to him, John the Immerser, and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, not just Israel, the whole world. There is the blood sacrifice. And how did God approve it? By resurrecting him from the dead. God presented Messiah as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies, the one who declares righteous, those who have faith in Yeshua. Where then is the boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith, confidence, and all this that the Lord has done through his Messiah. For we maintain that a person is justified, declared righteous by faith, apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Now this is a former rabbi. He was Rabbi Shaul, who became the Apostle Paul, declaring this, that God is the God not only of the Jews, but of all nations. Anyone who turns to him, Jew or Gentile, he's the God of that person. He's the Lord of all the earth. Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there's only one God who will justify, declare righteous, the circumcised, that is the Jews by faith, and the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, through that same faith. Do we then nullify the Torah by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the Torah. God has declared that the true Yom Kippur, the true Day of Atonement, comes when we welcome Yeshua the Messiah into our hearts, receive that blood sacrifice for sins, have our sins washed away receive the Ruach HaKodesh, God's Spirit in us, to enable us to live the life that He calls us to live, the life of righteousness. And God Himself receives the glory. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm praying that no one here would go through the rest of his or her life without knowing you and knowing the shalom, the peace that comes from this sacrifice of Messiah and this atoning work that washes us and frees us from our sin. We thank you, Lord, that truly you have brought redemption to all mankind through Yeshua. And we praise you. And we ask your blessing upon everybody here and every family represented. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, our righteousness. Lord, fill us afresh with your Ruach and enable us to live a life that glorifies you and to appear in your presence and hear your well done. In Yeshua's name, amen.